Well, welcome to our webinar, and it's a really warm welcome to Glyn Allen, the head of Shift. You guys know Arno. We've had Arno in the past. Glyn has been in the hot seat now at Shift for a while, and he's got some big news for us, which is going to cause a change in our portfolio, a significant one. We've been building up to it. I did kind of hint at it, but we'll be giving you the details in just a moment. How's it, Glyn? I know that you guys at Shift take a while to do stuff, but when you do it right. I guess the size of an organization like Standard Bank is that you just can't afford to get it wrong. So you test and test and test and test. But now the testing is over, and now we can finally invest in JSE listed shares. How long has it taken you to put this together?
Sure. Yeah, it's been quite a momentous task, Alec. I think we often underestimate, sometimes it's not just the technical build that needs to be tested and tested, like you mentioned, but it's also a lot of the regulatory and compliance and safety and security procedures that I think end up taking the longest. So it's been a long journey, probably a couple years now in the making, and it's not as simple as just putting it on an app. There's a lot of work to kind of try and optimize and make it as cost efficient for both us and our customers as possible.
Well, I'm going to just take us into the BizNews portfolio. And the reason I'm doing that is I want to just show everybody how we've structured the portfolio, the exponential portfolio, what we used to call the Shift portfolio, in a way so that we've been ready for this. So just having a look on the screen, just to make sure, can you see everything on the screen, Glyn?
I can, thank you.
You can, brilliant. All right. So as you'll see there, our biggest holding is in the research affiliates deletions ETF. We know all about that one. Hasn't done great yet, but not a problem. But what we've decided, what we've done is we've got there an iShares South Africa ETF. Well, look, the idea was up until now, we could only invest offshore. We couldn't invest on the JSE. So what we're going to be doing today is switching some of those investments onto the JSE because of what Glyn's just told us a moment ago. But you can see there's the iShares South Africa ETF, which is 9% of the portfolio. We've got Prosus, which we invested in the euros, 9% of the portfolio. You go a little bit further down, we're going to be changing those Anglo-Americans, which are in pounds, into rands as well. And similarly with Lesaka, which is 4% of the portfolio. So, and then we've built up a little bit of cash. We've got 8% of cash. So we've got all of that that we are going to be doing quite a bit of trading, I suppose you could call it. We don't really trade much, but this is a one-off opportunity. Glyn, how many of the JSE-listed counters are now available on Shift?
So we haven't put absolutely everything that's available on JSE, as you've alluded to, Alec. We kind of have started what we think have been the most popular, in our sort of older environment in online share trading. So we're currently sitting on around 128 instruments, and it's pretty even split between single stocks and ETFs at this stage. But as you know, the BizNews tribe in particular often asks for additional counters, and in that case, we'll obviously absolutely add that if it's necessary.
I'd like to also play a little bit with the back end, if you're okay with that. I'll take you into our Shift portfolio. I'm going to have to go back in again, but hopefully that'll be pretty quick and nobody can see exactly. Well, you can't see the password because good for Apple. I guess if I was using Microsoft, it might be something different. Nah, I mustn't keep banging away against Microsoft. But there we go. We having a look at the homepage there, and I'm going to go on to shares and then go on to the ZAR on shares. And that's pretty simple, isn't it, Ben? Browse shares. So it's all very simple. And, I didn't double check this. So I'm hoping like heck that the stocks that we're going to be adding to the portfolio are all there. And I've got a horrible feeling that Afrimat isn't. So can we put AfriMat into the portfolio? Will that be an easy enough thing to do?
Sure, I'll take me a half an hour or so, Alec, but I can certainly arrange for that for you.
Magic. Okay. Well, good to have friends in high places. So we will be adding AfriMat to the portfolio today. But actually what we've got to do is we've got to sell some of our US dollar shares first. And that's going to convert that. And then I guess just to make sure that what we would then do is we'd go into Forex, we'd sell the shares, take the Forex across to
Rands.
Okay. So we'd sell the shares, put it back into Rands, and then take the Rands and invest directly onto the JSE. It looks like a pretty simple process.
Yeah. And I think, Alec, just while you're on that, to mention, at the moment, you haven't got sort of an onboarded JSE share trading account yet. But the minute you request a quote for any one of those stocks, that'll kick off that process, which takes about a minute. So maybe if you do want to purchase some stocks later on, you're welcome to go through that process in the meantime.
A minute to do what? Do I have to FICA
again? Open up the, no, you don't have to do anything. You just need to get a quote, and within about a minute, as I said, your account, your ZAR account, as opposed to your current USD, Euro, and Pounds accounts, will be created. And that's obviously so that we can separate the offshore from onshore from a tax point of view later on.
Fantastic. So the tribe will be able to very simply go through that process then. The first thing is going to be selling the euro, the process in euros and the Anglos. In fact, we could probably do that now. You could. Why don't we do that? And you can just check that I'm doing everything correctly. Let's go into the euro account and have a look at process, which is a stock that we have. Hang on. I'm being a bit silly now. I'm going to have to go into portfolio first. Yeah, my portfolio.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, and then there it is. There's process. We've made a nice little profit out of process, as we all know. So the next process it would be presumably click on that, on process, and then sell it. As simple as that. Is that the way it works? Number of shares. 79, you can see down there, we got 79 shares. And there's the estimated value. You know, it never ceases to amaze me when I have a look at Shift at the incredible value that there is in the pricing of or the costs that you guys charge. I mean, how do you manage to do that? How do you manage to make it so cheap?
Are you referring to the commission, Alec, or from a Forex point of view?
Yeah, look at that. Total fees here, 15 euros on a 3,443 euro transaction. It's quite a – oh, hang on. I've actually made a bit of a blue there. I nearly bought some more. Well, I would have had to move it across, so that's fine. So just be careful, guys. When you're doing this, make sure that you sell it as we're doing there. But there we go, 15 – 82 is a very, very low cost placing the order.
It is, yeah. I mean, we obviously, as you know, Alec, it's a really competitive market as far as these trading platforms go. So, you know, in order to remain competitive, that price point is obviously something we try and keep as low as we possibly can for our customers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. You got to help me out here. I've got 79 shares, which I want to sell. There they are.
Do you know what we're Would you like to share your screen with me, Alec?
Oh, my goodness. Sorry. Hey, I'm going on like a crazy man, and you can't see the screen. Okay. Apologies. There we go. Share the screen. Okay. Can we see it? You can see it now.
Yes. Okay. So you're trying to sell?
I'm trying to sell the 79 shares that we've got there. I'm going down and placing the order.
Place your order. Yep.
Now it says time to top up, to reduce the number of shares you want to purchase. I don't want to purchase.
Yeah, so let's sell 78 shares, Alec. It looks like the...
Okay. All right. Okay. And Place the order. You know what it was? I know what happened. I actually asked it.
I think your wallets, if we go into your wallets, your balance is negative. So let's go to your global view.
Okay. There we go.
There we go. Yeah. So if you have a look there,
59
your wallet's
cents,
gone into a negative balance because of your safe custody fee. So what we can do, you can either sell $5 to just cover that and top up your euros, and then you're good to go. So what we can do is go into the Forex section.
Let's do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we can also demonstrate that. So if we say sell your dollars, yep.
Okay.
And we can change what you're buying some euros in the top right.
Okay.
Yep. And let's just do $5 for argument's sake.
Okay.
Yep. Get a live rate. All right. Perfect. Okay. Now you're good to go. So if you go back to your shares
and
go back to your process there, hit sell. You can say max there if you want to select all your shares.
Aha. Okay.
That'll give you your quote and accept.
I accept it. I'll place the order. Oops. Oh, dear.
Yeah, you can just close that by clicking that arrow in the top left.
This one.
Yeah. And then just click on the bottom right bubble, and that should close your chat help.
Okay.
Bottom, yeah. If you just clear all, that'll get rid of
there
those.
There we go. At last. Yeah. All right. And now I'm placing the order. It works. Okay. So it's very easy if you work through it methodically, as we've just done now. And we've now just saved, sold the holding that we had in process. And we'll do the same with Anglo American. And then when the US markets open, what time is that today, Glenn? What time do the US markets open? It's about half past two, isn't it?
I think it's about half past three, but I'm not 100%. We can check.
Okay. But the point there is that this afternoon we'll sell the US shares, and I'll go through the details and the thought process in just a moment. And we'll sell those, then go back onto the process of transferring those funds into a rand, into our rand wallet. And then before the JSE closes today, we can do some deals until, we've got about an hour and a half. Is it 3:30? Is that
it's 4:30, Alec.
4:30. Okay. So we got half an hour if we want to do it all before the weekend, which is probably going to give the tribe a little bit of work to do. But if you're watching this as a recording, and there are many more people who'll be watching the recording rather than watching this live, if you're watching the recording, then it's quite easy. You just do exactly what we've said now. And when the markets are open in the US, sell your shares there, get the rands ready, and then you can do your purchasing of the stocks that we're going to be talking about in just a moment. Glenn, this has been quite a journey for Shift to get to the point where it is now. As you've just explained to us, it's taken many months. I can remember Arno talking about this way over a year ago, that you guys were keen to do this. What's the next trick? What's the next thing that you have? I know it's hard. You've just finished a huge project, but what would Shift be looking to do next?
Yeah, so we've got a big year ahead planned, Alec. I think some of the sort of standout things that a lot of our clients have been asking for, as I'm sure you know, particularly in the offshore markets, is the introduction of fractional shares. I think a lot of sort of new basic investors, that price point for some of those stocks, like a Berkshire or a Prosus, like you've just seen, can be quite a barrier for a lot of people. When you have sort of a minimum requirements in some instances of 5,000 rand just to purchase a single stock. So I think that's one of the key things that we'll be looking at introducing this year, in the sort of second half of the year. And in addition to that, I think another really exciting addition will be the introduction of CFDs. So, you know, that I think will introduce a whole nother dimension in terms of allowing more of a trading type of experience, as opposed to kind of the typical investments and sort of longer term view that that you typically would go through with your portfolio updates. So I think, you know, those are probably the highlights for us. And surrounding that, obviously, there's going to be a lot more education required, you know, to make sure people can invest responsibly and get the best research and information that we possibly can. And obviously, working with people like yourself helps a lot from that education point of view. So we'll be disseminating a lot of that type of information too.
Well, we're going to talk through the portfolio changes in just a moment, but there are quite a lot of questions. So I'm sure while we got you here, before we let you go, let's just go through them. The first one, why are we selling Prosus? We're not selling, we're not divesting of Prosus, but we're going to be transferring. We've had a fantastic run on Prosus, as you know from the portfolio. I'll just have a look quickly and just to remind you that our Prosus shares in the Exponential portfolio are at 44%, and we've only had them for about a year. So it's been a terrific performer. I'm not saying that its run is over, but to be sitting at 9% because of the 44% increase is now starting to get a little bit weighty. We're also very keen to start investing in rands as well. So what we will be doing is we'll be selling the Prosus, which we bought through Amsterdam, through Euro. It is Amsterdam, isn't it? Or Euronext. It's Euronext.
Frankfurt Stock Exchange, yeah.
Frankfurt, okay. So we'll be selling the Frankfurt holding and then putting it into we've sold the Frankfurt holding. We'll put it into rands and we'll buy it on the JSE in rands. Sean wants to know, why go back into rands? Are you bullish on rands? No, not necessarily. But what we're doing is we are buying rand-denominated assets, JSE listers. That's the whole story of what Shift has been working on for so long, is that we can use our rands to buy stocks. And indeed, we're going to be moving 40% of the portfolio into rand-based stocks. And what happens with those stocks when the international prices change, they change in rands as well. So it really is no difference. Serena says, what is the position? This is one for you. Glenn, what is the position with provisional tax reporting? Currently on Shift, we have to mainly work out capital gains loss for provisional tax reporting.
Yes, that's actually something I've seen come up in the business tribe before, Alec, and it's a very valid question. Currently today, customers would have to manually request that through our support team, where we can provide those provisionals. However, that is something we're working on as a result of listening to some of the business tribes. So we're certainly looking at introducing that capability just to make it as easy as possible for people from a tax point of view.
But right now, Serena, we'll have to just drop you an email. And what's your email address?
It's glyn.allen@standardbank.co.za.
Pretty simple. glyn.allen@standardbank.co.za. Yeah. Fabulous.
And for any support queries, we can also email or use the in-app chat, Alec, for support@getshift.co.za.
Actually, that's probably a better call.
It is.
The app is awesome. I use it all the time. Okay, so Dave wants to know, does Shift accommodate non-individuals, company, CC, or trust?
So not at the moment. We are definitely looking at introducing jurisdictions. That's something that's planned towards the latter end of the year, though, Alec. So today it is only for individuals over the age of 18.
Okay, so it's still the big story today, though, is slowly, slowly catchy monkey, but the monkey that's been caught today are JSE shares. Right. Serena's got a follow-up question. What are the custody fees for the Verse Standard Bank online trading, which has a fixed monthly fee?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was expecting that to come up today, Alec. So the custody fees for onshore, so for the JSE, is 0.12% or 12 basis points compared to the 20 basis points on our offshore offering. I think the key thing to mention here, though, is what is a little bit nuanced is that we will have a cap on that custody fee. So at 350 Rand will be the maximum that you'll ever be charged for safe custody. So, you know, individuals with very large portfolios don't have to worry about that, you know, impacting their bottom line as significantly. So I think compared to OST, obviously, it is a slightly different model, but it is consistent with what we offer on our offshore market. And I think the other important point is that there is no monthly sort of admin or levy for using Shift, as you know, at all. So that's kind of the price point we're at.
Brilliant. Alan says, when will foreign investment allowance approvals also be incorporated, i.e. so more than 1 million rand discretionary allowance can be invested?
Yes, another slowly catchy monkey, Alec. We have certainly started working on that already. That's another one of those elements that require regulatory approval. So the work is underway, and we're also hoping that that will be available in the second half of the year so that individuals can purchase up to 10 million, you know, if they have their approval from SARS.
All working, all work in progress. Christine asks, with CITES tax in mind, that's the US taxes, there are not many island domiciled ETFs available on Shift.
Yes, that's true. It's certainly something we can start to look at. As I mentioned earlier, you know, any particular instruments that our customers would like specifically added onto the platform, that's definitely those suggestions we welcome. And we're always looking at evolving and including more and more ETFs. So that's certainly something we can look at. If that's provided to us, we can take a look.
That's interesting. Okay. Tace wants to know, asking me, what is the reason behind selling US or Euro stocks and replacing them with ZAR stocks like Prosus, for example? Tace, quite simple. If you have a cap on the amount of money that you're allowed to invest offshore, well, why not use your rands here? That's the first point. And the second, and remember, we've got a number of the stocks that are South African stocks that are based offshore because we know them. We simply know them better. Now, I know the exponential, or many of the exponential stocks, because it's in my business. It's in my understanding of the media business. That's why we acquired companies like Microsoft and Amazon and Apple, etc., because we use the tools. But on the other hand, it just makes a heck of a lot of sense to use your rands here in South Africa rather than taking them offshore and then investing them into hard currency stocks. You can take that money and do other things with it. And that's really the idea, that we will then take the process from overseas and bring it back here. Anthony asks, can shares be transferred from Saxo to Shift without buying and selling? I suppose that's from OST to Shift.
Saxo is a separate provider altogether. And I think, you know, that question would probably apply to any transfer from another broker into Shift. The short answer is yes, Alec. We do allow for incoming transfers of your portfolio, which obviously then wouldn't require you to actually liquidate your positions.
Brilliant. And so, again, get onto the app and you'll be able to talk to someone about that.
Correct.
Dai Jan says, very interesting development. What is the Standard Bank South Africa interplay with online share trading, web trader, and auto share invest? Is the plan for Shift to eventually replace the SBSA offering? Will customers be required to migrate? Maybe you can just explain auto share invest, which is a fabulous offering, and how, and then answer Diane's question.
Sure. Yeah, the auto share invest is a fantastic feature. It gives our customers the ability to essentially schedule the purchasing of a number of stocks. And it's actually a really good use case on a monthly basis, Alec, for the introduction of something like a fractional share. So a good example might be that somebody would like to purchase 1,000 rands worth of process stocks, obviously on the 20th of the month, let's say. Obviously, on that 20th, the price could have moved, which allows you to either buy 8, 7, 8, 9 quantity of shares. Obviously, in a fractional scenario, you'd always be able to get exactly 1,000 rands with those stocks. So I think that's, you know, another really good use case for why we'd also like to introduce fractionals for that auto share invest type feature. And it really just kind of allows users to grow their wealth on a consistent basis. So it's a fantastic feature. And I guess in terms of the question around the interplay with online share trading and WebTrader, AutoShare Invest, I think a big part of why we've introduced this local offering on Shift is to allow users to have one simple place to access both offshore and onshore, as opposed to having to use WebTrader if you want to use offshore trading, and then using online share trading if you want to do local stocks. So I think, you know, ultimately, yes, I think the plan would certainly be to have Shift as the sort of one-stop shop for all of your investment and trading capabilities. So in terms of the migration, that's obviously going to be a longer journey and something that we'll need to be tackling very carefully and in terms of the how. There's still some work to be done around that.
So with the WebTrader portfolio, the original global portfolio on BizNews,
yes.
If and I know we've got a lot of people who follow that, quite have done so right from the beginning. How would they then get those stocks or that holding into Shift?
Yeah, so it would be a very similar process to the question earlier on around sort of transferring your shares. Essentially, we will take care of that for those clients. And as long as they are a Shift, signed up Shift customer, we're able to do that process for them. So we'll make it as simple as possible for all those users. So they won't be attracting any additional fees or anything like that. They'll just log into Shift and their WebTrader portfolio should be there for them.
Brilliant. Well, that actually will give us the ability to then retire the global share portfolio. I mean, it's done amazingly. And I suppose if you were a marketer, you'd say, no, don't do that. Show people how well you've done. But it's practically speaking, you can't go back 11 years and start again. But it would give us that ability to then just focus on the Shift or the exponential portfolio. Flippy says, can US dollars already externalized be directly deposited to Shift, and will that be treated or recorded as external to the discretionary allowance?
So, yeah, it's a good question. Customers are able to do what's called an inward teletransfer or an inward payment, as long as, you know, that inward payment into their wallet is from their own account. They could transfer dollars from, let's say, their offshore dollar account into their dollar Shift wallet. And as long as the client keeps those funds in that currency, there's no impact on their discretionary allowance at all. If they choose to sell those dollars back into rands, that's when there would be an implication on their discretionary allowance. And that's called repatriation. So that would essentially give them additional discretionary allowance in that case to then externalize those funds again, should they want to.
So what we're doing here by taking some of the offshore investments and then changing them into rand is actually going to be a repatriation, and it's going
That's
to
correct.
Give the owner a bigger allowance to take offshore if they want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. Well, we've come to like the first half of the hour for today. Glenn, thanks for updating us. I do need to go through the
Absolutely.
Changes in the portfolio at some detail. There is a last question from Roy. He says, what about dollars in one's account? Any consideration for an interest-bearing opportunity?
Absolutely. So I mentioned earlier on that we're looking at introducing the CFD and trading capability within Shift. As soon as we have that capability live, you will be able to transfer your dollars into that trading account. And on that trading account, that will attract interest. So that's also something we're hoping to deliver in the second half of this year.
You've got a heck of a lot going on. How many people have you got working in the back end on this?
We do have a lot going on, and I think the answer is not enough, Alec.
Okay. Well, we'll keep watching you. We'll keep enjoying the changes, because when the announcement comes, like today for us, it's very exciting. We've been watching this and hoping for this for a long, long time. And well done to you guys for delivering. I think the one thing about you, about Standard Bank and Shift is, yeah, it might take a little while, but when you deliver, it's done and it's solid, and it's unlike with smaller organizations who don't have as many hoops to jump through, you know it's been properly tested. And so if I can ask you, please, to get Afrimat onto the platform ASAP, and then we can get Afrimat into our portfolio as well. And Glenn, lovely talking to you. Thanks again for coming down to the conference. I know it was a success. For most people. Nice to have seen you there. And I hope there were a lot of the tribe who came up to you and were able to work out any little kinks that they had in their engagement with Shift.
Thank you so much for having me, Alec. And looking forward to the next conference.
Me too. Thank you. Glenn Allen is the head of Shift. Well, guys, there we have it. So as you have heard, we are going to now be moving to the next phase, which is giving you the changes to the portfolio. And I hope that everybody is quite comfortable with the reasons why we're doing what we're doing. I'd just like to take us back to the portfolio as it currently stands. And just on the screen sharing side, there we go. I hope you've got it. You can see now on your screen, these, by the way, are easy enough to access. Let me do that. You go onto BizNews. When you have a look there, as a premium member, you'll see BN Portfolios. It's got the premium lock on it. Click on that. It'll take you in through the paywall, through the steady paywall, and you can see there's various bits of data there and a useful table of the latest stock price movements. You can see, wow, the changes in the last, well, since the beginning of last year are still quite extraordinary for many of those stocks. And then as you go down, there's the exponential portfolio, and then below that, the global portfolio. And as I mentioned to Glenn a little bit earlier, I mean, who'd want to get rid of the global portfolio when you started off there with 2 million rand 11 years ago, now it's 15.5 million rand. But that's marketing. We rather want to be serving our community better. And you can see there the total value of the portfolio in rands, of the exponential portfolio, which is coming up for, 3 years old, is 70%. So it's been a good return in rands. And again, because we launched it at the absolute peak of the US market, and because we were restricted to only investing in US stocks, I think we've done pretty well. But it reaffirms that it's time in the market, not timing the market, that actually works. Now, all of those gains are in US dollar terms. And you can see that the big winner, of course, was Palantir. But Prosus has done really well, Amazon well, Uber's more than doubled, and Lusaka and Tesla done well as well. We've recently bought those Class A alphabets, 15% weaker, and the research affiliations ETF, that's kind of a core holding in the portfolio. So hopefully you get the idea that we're working on here and what it is that we're going forward with. Let me just go into the changes that we're doing today. I know there is there are a few more questions, and I'm so pleased to see that the tribe's getting good now at asking questions. It's in the chat box. It's not really that difficult, but asking questions which we can then pick up and go forward with. Here are the sales that are coming out of the exponential portfolio today, and this is primarily to generate revenue so that we can then invest it in rands, and that will then expand your opportunity to invest offshore through your allowance. So as Lynn was explaining, the $18,000 in our case, because we've gone 10,000, 10,000, 10,000, we've got a $30,000 investment over three different channels in the exponential portfolio. That $18,000 will now be added to this year's offshore alliance as a repatriation. So there's another $18,000 that we can take offshore should we want to at some point. We will be selling the South African ETF, which has done unbelievably well if you consider all the issues that have been going on around the country. By now, you'd have thought that with South Africa and the US fighting or boxing as much as they have, that that would have fallen out of bed. Well, it hasn't. Process, as mentioned earlier, it's done very well for us. That's been on the rally in the Chinese stocks, and it's also in euros, but this is the dollar amount. The iShares Russell 2000, my feeling on that, it hasn't done great. It hasn't done badly. It's kind of held its value in dollars, but it's an investment in the US market, and we've already got that through the Research Affiliates Deletions Fund, which, remember, that's a specialized ETF where the investment has been made in those stocks that have fallen out of indices. And what tends to happen there, as their backtesting shows, is that they do come back strong over a five-year period. So we're quite happy to stay with that as a core holding. No need to have the Russell 2000 there as well. Anglo American, that's listed in London. That's going to be pushed into RANDs. And Lesaka, that's done very well for us. That's listed in the US as well, but we're going to be bringing that back into South African RANDs. And then there's cash of 35550. So altogether, there will be total receipts of 18,212, which is roughly 40% of the portfolio. That's going to be put into these JSE stocks. 40%, eight fives are 40. We've got eight stocks here. We're going to allocate 5% to each. It's a strategy which has worked really well for us in the past. Those of you who've been around for the last 11 years will remember with a global portfolio, we did exactly this. We took eight stocks, 5% each, and then the other 60% was in bankers almost. And here's what we're doing. We'll be taking 5% into Lesaka and Prosus and Anglo American. Those are three stocks that we're selling here. So we'll be swapping into it. We've got FirstRand, Purple, and Roynet are in the global portfolio. So we're staying with those. We know the stocks well. Roynet's been a little disappointing of late, but it's sitting at a very, very attractive rating, dividend yield of about 6% and price earnings ratio of 10. So although Roynet was, it had a wonderful run on the basis that it was an alternative to a very bad Eskom. And as Eskom's improved, Roynet has kind of gone back. But it's still a company that now seems to have fallen too far out of favor. But anyway, it's not the point of analyzing Roynet at great depth. Now, all we're doing here is we're just taking those from the global portfolio and from the exponential portfolio and putting those JSE stocks into our new shift portfolio. And then we got four new stocks: Sasol, Pick and Pay, Savvest, and Afrimat. Sasol, Pick and Pay, Savvest, and Afrimat. Those are the four. I guess I should have asked Glenn to add Savvest as well. It might not be in there. Let me give you the investment case, and then we can go to a little more detail on them. Sasol, we did have Simon Baloyi at the BizNews conference. Universally, the feedback about Simon was very positive. He is a very humble servant leader, a different type of chief executive for Sasol. And I'm pretty sure from the management perspective that they are going to deliver what they can. But the Sasol investment case is not the management team being better or worse than it was in the past, although there's no doubt that in the last few years it certainly has improved dramatically. But it is the assets that are sitting in this portfolio. Sasol trades at a discount to its book value of over 63%. That's extraordinary. And all it needs to do really is to get just a normal return on its assets and the share price will really bump up. You might remember we did terribly well in Sasol, in the portfolio, in the global portfolio 5 years ago when it dropped all the way down to 20 Rand a share. And we managed to buy in there 25. And I remember getting emails from people saying, "Are you mad? This thing's going bust." Well, didn't. And it's very unlikely that Sasol will go bust, certainly now after the work that the team have done in reducing that debt. But let me just give you a couple of the big reasons why Sasol is exciting. The Trump administration wants people to just kind of get, maybe listen to this in some detail, because I've done a lot of thinking and a lot of reflection and had the privilege of actually sitting in a room and listening to, that was in Davos, listening to what Donald Trump is trying to achieve, then talking to others who are close to him to see, well, what is it that they're actually at? What are they up to with all these tariffs and everything else? And essentially, the way I understand it is that Donald Trump realizes that the United States of America has got to start making stuff, but he's not trying to reindustrialize the U.S. in the way that it was 50 years ago, although that's the perception that it would be created if you listen to most analysts. He's not dumb. He's got Elon Musk, who's actually advising him as well. And the first principle is you've got to make this stuff in the country if you're going to be able to compete internationally and give jobs to people in the country. There's no way that you can just export your jobs indefinitely, which the U.S. has been doing for a long time. So what they're talking about is reindustrializing through using technology. What Elon has done, for instance, on the Tesla cars, it is highly, highly mechanized through robots. So the whole idea that Trump has got is let's invest heavily into artificial intelligence. I mean, he's talking about doubling. He did it in Davos anyway, doubling their electricity output in the next 5 years so that they can drive these data centers, which are themselves required for artificial intelligence. So just get that as a starting point. And then what he said in Davos was that we are going to drop the corporate tax rate for American companies from 21% to 15%. But if you're sitting outside and you think that and you want to sell into America, so we've got this market, create a business for us in bring your business, manufacture stuff inside America, and you will benefit from the 15% tax rate. And talking to other people close to the story, they have been offering huge incentives to international companies to actually relocate or at least to have an operation within the United States of America. So that's their strategy. They want to get industry going, or they want to get business going again in America, but making it highly incentivizing people to do that. He said, but if you're going to be sitting with your businesses outside of America and you want to access our market, well, you're going to have to pay to do that. So you're going to be paying tariffs. That's his strategy. Well, you may agree, you may disagree. It is what it is. And that's the way that they've worked this thing out. So they are massively incentivizing companies to go into the United States and to establish their businesses there so that they can rebuild and recreate jobs, etc. That's the way they're thinking. If you can agree or disagree with it, that's the reality of it. Now, Sasol has got a massive chemicals plant in Louisiana called Lake Charles. It's part of the reason for all the problems that Sasol's got. It's got a huge amount of debt, which was generated by Lake Charles, which cost, as you can see, $12.8 billion, almost $13 billion. $13 billion, multiply that by the current rand dollar rate, and I'll just do it for you quickly so you don't have to do it in your head, but that's 234 billion rand. 234 billion rand. Current market cap of Sasol is 48 billion rand. Well, you can't relate it directly to the 234 billion because there is debt in there as well. But the fact of the matter is that Sasol has built this plant, of which it had to give half away. Half of the plant will give half away, sell half of it. But it's still got an investment in Lake Charles worth 115 billion rand on its own, and its entire market cap is 48 billion. So whatever else happens in Sasol right now, if Lake Charles comes right, and apparently that big chemicals plant is coming right, and the chances of Lake Charles coming right have risen substantially under the Trump regime to what it was under Biden. And I don't think that's been appreciated In fact, you can see the share price there. Sasol might be up 133% in the past 5 years, but that's only because it had got in COVID to an area where it was priced for destruction. You can, if you go back to mid-22, you were sitting at over 400 Rand a share, and we're now at 75 Rand a share. So if you start working in the benefit of Lake Charles, there's an exponential increase to come. Then you add in the benefit of net zero at the very least downgraded in the United States. The view is going for net zero in the United States, while China is not. All it does is puts you at a huge disadvantage. And I was listening at the ARC conference to the energy affairs minister from the US saying exactly that, saying, forget it. We're not going to change everything in this country and overdo it and hurt and destroy our economy when others are not doing the same. Whereas in the UK, for instance, and I've made this point before, they generate about 1% of carbon emissions and they want to bring it down to 0.5%. But the Chinese are going from 40 to 41%, no problem. So what's happening here? It's almost like there was a narrative, there was propaganda. We in South Africa have swallowed the pills as well. But that now is being reversed. Now that is good news for Sasol, because Sasol and Eskom are the biggest polluters in South Africa, and under a net zero regime, they had huge costs they had to worry about. Those costs are now getting less. So I'm working those two in. I'm working Trump bringing in industry to America, making it better for industry, including Sasol with Lake Charles. And by the way, when Lake Charles was invested, Sasol was the biggest foreign investor that year in the United States. How's that? And then on the second thing is net zero being a huge overhang over Sasol, which isn't there anymore. The valuation, depending on where you think they're going to be, their profits are going to be in the next year, anywhere from 4 to 8 times price to earnings, which is seriously dirt cheap. Discount to book value, and just getting back to normal earnings at Sasol, we'll see this share price relative to other energy companies going up, doubling or quadrupling. So that's the investment case for Sasol. We're putting that in our portfolio. We're going to take for 5% there. Investment case for the second stock that's going to be added, Pick and Pay. It's a winner. Sean Summers, there are some who say that he's arrogant and he hasn't really delivered, and Pick and Pay is taking a long time to return. I don't buy that. Certainly the feedback I've been getting from within Pick and Pay is that he's unleashed huge energy into the business. And Sean knows the company. He knows the people. They love him. And I just go into a Pick and Pay and get a feeling from the staff. I love doing these Warren Buffett type personal research. You know what Buffett does is he would go to Gorat's, for instance, and go and sit behind the till and just watch people, how they use their credit cards, are they using Apple Pay, etc. And he's made some big calls on that. Well, if you go into Pick and Pays and just see how people seem to be reacting now compared to how they were before Summers arrived, you might agree with that as far as the manager's concerned. But I'm a Summers fan and have been for a long, long time, known him for a long, long time. And I'm pretty sure that Sean wouldn't have gone back into that business unless he had every belief that he could do the turnaround. And already there is momentum in the turnaround. They are converting 100 loss-making stores, 100. Okay, it's of about over 2,000 if you count Boxer as well. But even so, a third of those have been done already. And so it's super fast time. It's still priced. The shares are still priced for disaster. The market cap, in other words, the value of Pick and Pay, is still worth less than its shareholding in Boxer. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. If it turns around, if Pick and Pay, if this 2,000 store business is able to start generating profits as is being projected over the next year or so, well, it's got to be worth something at that point in time, and certainly not a nil as it is at the moment. And what I loved was seeing the news this week that Prudential, or M&G as they're now called, big value investor, guys who do their homework. Again, I have a huge, huge regard for Prudential, the team at there, M&G, as they're known worldwide. They've increased their stake. They announced it on Tuesday to over 10%. That's a big investment, over 2 billion rand. So if Prudential are doing it at these prices, why not us? Okay, third one, Sabvest Capital. Here's another guy I really rate highly, Piet Viljoen. When you have a look at his value fund, Sabvest is 7.5% of the value fund. Next biggest holding is under 5%. So it tells you this is his favorite stock, and there's a very good reason for it being his favorite stock. Compound annual growth rate since 1988 is double the JSE. Well, it's over 20%. And that's really Warren Buffett type achievement. Chris Seabrook still got 41% of this company. He's something of a business genius, entrepreneurial genius. And he just, you can see when you read the annual report and go through the detail in there, it's very active. He's active. He isn't sitting on a portfolio and saying, oh, let it just grow. He's got a big chunk of this portfolio, which is unlisted companies. He's kind of buying and selling and taking a bigger stake here and taking a smaller stake there and offloading here and buying more. It's quite complex. And I'm pretty sure that Piet Viljoen has done a lot of homework on this if it is his favorite stock with such a big shareholding. And it's one of those forever companies that you can put in there. And it trades at a discount to book value. So that means that you buying in at 29%, what would that be? That would be 71 cents in the rand that you're paying for Sabvest. And you've got Chris Seabrook, who's still very much involved as the big boss there, making the calls. And you getting into his company at 71 cents in the rand. He, by the way, is continuing to drive share buybacks. So they think, Seabrook and co think that the shares are cheap at 132 rand 13 cents. It's a bit like when Warren Buffett would buy shares in Berkshire Hathaway. He would only do it when he felt that the stock was significantly undervalued. So they spent 60 million rand on share buybacks last year. And they've got big offshore holdings, these guys, as well. Not that you would know a lot about them. Correro, one to go and have a look at, listed on the LSE, and many of the others are private companies, but substantial ones. One in crypto, that'll make the Bitcoin group get excited. And then Flowmax UK, which is also a big business. I think it's like nearly a billion rands worth of investment there. It's a big, big operation. And then you'll remember ARB, a terrific local distributor of electrical appliances and electrical goods, basically. Rolf's another good company. Those were delisted, and Sabvest has gone along for the ride. So that's the investment case there on Sabvest. And then finally, Afrimat. I did mention this to Glenn Allen. He'll be adding it to the portfolio. What I like about Afrimat, and remember, this is an exponential portfolio. So you're looking at a portfolio where the value of the stocks can actually grow by more than 20% a year. And Afrimat made a huge investment in Lafarge. Lafarge was acquired. Lafarge South Africa was acquired by the Holcim Group. So they did a deal internationally, $40 billion internationally. That became the enlarged. They were merged into the enlarged. It was called Lafarge Holcim for about a year or so, and then it became the Holcim Group. And in that big international transaction, they acquired the South African operations. The value of the South African operations then were around 5 billion rand, the implied value. That wasn't they were not publicly available, so you have to do a bit of work on that one. But the operations have not flourished, as have many of the construction sector in South Africa in the past 5 years, and or the past 10 years in this case. And Afrimat is buying that in at a billion rand. Now, if you want to discounted cash flow, that they're getting it at an absolute fraction of what it was worth at the time that the Holcim Group did that merger. And they got to do a turnaround. But that's what these guys do. That's what Andreas van Heerden and his team at Afrimat achieve. That's why they've built this business from the ground up. They've got a 10-year compound annual growth rate of 32%, better even than Capitec and Naspers. And they are very disciplined with their strategic acquisitions. And the Lafarge acquisition was highly strategic. It's a big plant that's at Lichtenberg, and the team at Afrimat have been putting a lot of energy and effort into turning that one around. So Afrimat's also coming into our portfolio, as you can see. Of course, in the last 5 years, doesn't look like a bargain, but we've got a stock price today which is exactly the same place it was at 3 years ago, and they've got the Lafarge option as well. So those are the big stories and the decisions that we've made, the changes that we've made to the portfolio. So I will I can pick up a couple of questions for the last 5 minutes or so. If you have, just to tap them, please, into the live stream. Can you please highlight the case for, Serena asks, for Anglo American? Sure. The case there is that Anglo American is going through its own transition. It often happens in these cases when you get the announcement, everyone gets terribly excited about it, they push the share price up, and then the share price starts going down because the narrative, it's out of the news, and then people get bored. This low attention span that many investors have, they sell the shares. Anglo's still doing in the background. They're still working really hard on doing the turnarounds. They've got a plan. Looked at the plan. You can too. It's all there in the public domain, and it's something that is going to unlock masses of value. Anglo, remember, is not a company that has got Starnoff type accounts. It's got highly conservative accounts. So whatever's in the accounting system there, you can be pretty sure there's going to be a lot of value unlocked on that one. So, then, what's your view on the current thinking to move out of US stocks and into Europe, China, and other regions? Sean, I don't know. Hey, it's not my game. I don't go with the big movements. The movements are, the big story is always very, very difficult to call. If you'd been calling the big story on South Africa in the last month or so, or since January, you would have jumped out of South African stocks in entirety. In fact, you would probably have slashed your wrists and emigrated at the same time. Well, that's because you get caught up in the narrative. Behind the scenes, and I'm because of the work I do, only a bit of it actually makes it in the public domain. You've got to really understand what's going on behind the scenes to be able to make some sense of what's going in the public domain. So you interview somebody, you talk to them on the record, and then they tell you off the record what's happening. Or you phone people that you know, because that's what journalists do. And you ask the contacts what's happening, and they tell you because you have a long, long relationship with them, a relationship of trust. And that's why we just don't get involved in these right-wing or left-wing or politically aligned or crusading journalism or any of that garbage. We don't believe in it. We believe we serve you. We serve our community. And we can only serve our community if we are neutral players, if we have a platform for left and right and, pro-Israel, anti-Israel, whatever. That's what we're here for. We're not here to take stances. Because if we jump into one camp or the other, then, for instance, why did Paul Mashatile, the deputy president, why did he feel comfortable coming to the BizNews conference? He came there because he sees us as a neutral party. But let's just say we were part of a group of right-wing podcasters. Well, he wouldn't come to us, would he? Why would he? He'd be mad because he'd be going into a hostile environment. We're a platform. And I think that's really, really important. And it's important for you to know that I share with you as much as I can from the information that is provided by those who trust us with that information. And they, because there's that, you get into second level thinking, third level thinking, you peel off the layers of the onion. And that's the way that you do it. And you don't do that by following the narrative. It doesn't happen automatically. You don't have access coming straight out of university to somebody who's been around the block a long time, because how do they trust you? They don't have the relationship with you, which only gets built over many, many years. And that's a relationship of trust. That's what we share with you. So it isn't a situation here with us that we would be jumping into things willy-nilly. That comes from a understanding of where we are placed, which is we're a neutral observer, and we serve our community. That's it. Blashlush. Okay, Martin's. Thank you, Martin. Very kind of you to say that. And just to finish off with Sean. What do you imagine will happen to Berkshire if Warren Buffett exits the stage? That's beyond my circle of competence. But I do know that Howard Buffett is lined up to be the chairman. He's Warren's eldest. He's a very sensible guy. I've spent a bit of time with him through a different route entirely. He used to have quite a lot of interest here in South Africa. Might still have, but he's very much under the radar. And Howard has got instructions from Dad, and you can be pretty sure that those instructions will be keep it going as it has been going. Nothing's changed since Charlie left. Will much change when Warren departs? Probably not. It's a winning formula for Berkshire, but who knows what the future holds. All I can say to you is that if you're a Berkshire Hathaway shareholder, your investments are in very, very safe hands, not just now, but into the future. And often Warren and Charlie at the AGMs used to talk about this, and they would say, and they'd be asked, because you must know, I mean, since Warren's been 80, people have been forecasting his demise, and they would say, the worst thing we could do, the two of us, is actually leave behind something that collapses when we depart. So we'll be here until we hit the, 6 foot under area. But until we do that, we're going to make sure that it'll be passed on to people who think like we do, and it'll be in safe hands, and that your investments will be in safe hands too. Fabulous. Lovely having this webinar with you today. I know there's been a lot of feedback to say, come on, guys, let's do it once a month. We will be doing our best to update you regularly. Very exciting now that we've got Shift giving our JSE-listed companies an opportunity for us to invest in, and I hope that you enjoy the fact that we've now added 4 new South African stocks to the portfolio. Go and do your own homework. Remember, this is a model portfolio. We do invest BizNews reserves into this portfolio, but it's for you. The idea is really to give you an indication, to give you a thought. Go and look at the annual report, read the information, make up your own mind. And even if you get it wrong, you will be in. That the benefit will be that you'll actually be learning stuff. So thanks again. Lovely being with you. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews. Report to the next time. Here we go.